First Baptist Church of Redmond, May 8, 2022. John chapter 5, part 4.
Please rise. Join me in reading John 5:25. Truly, truly, I say to you, a time is coming, and even now has arrived, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. You may be seated.
That's the key verse in our section. The first verse we'll be preaching on, John 5:25-32. Why? It's focusing on heaven. It's focusing on when we go to heaven. I don't know if I'll be continuing the series of the man who is healed. I have a fresh start, part four. I don't know if I'll be having part five or starting a new section, new title. But it's important on Mother's Day to be focusing on mom's advice to listen to God. I want to talk about some celebrities that need to listen to God, mom more. I have quotes and I didn't find them correctly. Okay. In an interview with AARP. Wow. George Clooney is old enough to be a member. He is reflected upon his scooter accident. I don't know if you know it, but he had a scooter accident in 2018 and he was injured. He was reflecting on his morality and he said this, quote, "I'm not a particularly religious guy, so I have to be skeptical about an afterlife. But as you get older, you start thinking. It's very hard for me to say, once you finish with this chassis we're in, you're just done. My version of it is that 1/100th of a pound of energy that disappears when you die, and you're jamming it right into the hearts of the other people who've been been close to. That energy tells me to put down my phone, buy real estate, shun pre-made salad dressing, write letters, repair my house, gather loved ones around a big circular table, and be curious about others." Okay. John Cleese, in an interview with, again, AARP. Comedian John Cleese was asked, "What do you think is the meaning of life?" He replied, "I believe there's an afterlife, and although it can explain it, it exists. I think the evidence is too strong that there's something going on there that contemporary science knows nothing about. If I have anything useful to do, apart from making people laugh now and then, it's to persuade people that this stuff ought to be looked at without making great assumptions about what it means or how it happens." Well, he's close, but even this famous face, first two gave an interview to the AARP. Well, he did, she did an interview for the Howard Stern Show. And she was asked about her faith. "I have a deep faith," she said. She believes there is a God when we die, and we're going to go, quote unquote, somewhere. "We're learning more and more about what holds the universe together." And what she does she think with her deep faith? Well, dark matter makes up most of the universe. We don't quite know what it is. its energy. I think religious belief and science are compatible, unlike those who reject one or the other. I think that energy doesn't die. Energy keeps going. And what did Howard Stern say? That's comforting. Well, I'll give you an alternative view. Truly, truly, I say unto you, a time is coming, and even now has arrived, when the dead will hear the voice of God, the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now is arrived. The time referred to is that of the New Testament era after the birth of Christ. As Jesus speaks, still it is, quote, coming. Since the work of redemption is not yet complete, and which yet now is, since Jesus is here and his saving word at this very moment is ringing in our ears if we will listen. Will live are the last two verses, the last two words of that verse. He gives life to the dead. In verse 24, it is the fact that the believer has life that it is focused on. Now it is the fact that believers shall continue to live, namely on and on to eternity. But now the picture is intensified into a spiritual resurrection. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he gave to his Son also to have life in himself. The one fountain of life thus flows in one stream from the Father and the Son. We must remember that this is not a truth uttered in general, but in answer to the charge of the Jews that Jesus made himself equal with God. The Jews certainly agreed that God the Father, quote, has life in himself, not derived or dependent on anyone else. The name Yahweh or Jehovah has this meaning. You know, Exodus 3:14, when Moses asked God what his name was, and he said, I am that I am. It's a form of the state of being verb in Hebrew. I am the ever-consisting one. I need no one else. I exist and consist with the help of no one else. I had no creator. I had no beginning, had no ending. This is what the word Yahweh or Jehovah means. When Jesus said that this gift was made to the Son, he once more uses the Son to tell the Jews that he, Jesus, is actually the Son of God. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Authority, what does authority mean? The right, the absolute power. This noun denotes power to do something. Judgment, it refers to the judgment of mankind because Jesus knows who are his. He knows if you are believing. If you're a believer, that's a comfort because Jesus knows you. It refers to the activity of the Messiah as judge, especially on the last day. And it refers, I think, to final judgment. Son of Man. The phrase Son of Man focuses on the messianic Son of Man of Daniel 7:13. In Daniel 7:14, the Son of Man was given authority just as in our passage here, Jesus quotes from and alludes to Daniel 2, Daniel 7, and some other places because he was coming to fulfill prophecy. He was the rock that the builders rejected that has become the chief's cornerstone. He quoted that another place. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Do not be amazed. Urges the Jews not to reject the fact that God gave Jesus. Jesus alone has the authority to judge. It is the same phrase that Jesus used when speaking to Nicodemus in 3:7. Do not be amazed. Being surprised here is the same as being offended by what Jesus said. Jesus' command to stop being surprised is his summons to stop their unbelief and to understand the truth of his, Jesus' words. The command implies that they should have been able to think about what they have just seen or heard. And will come out, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the bad deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Only the Son has the authority to judge, as shown by the fact that the dead will hear his voice and come out of their graves. The reason people should not be surprised about Jesus' claims is because one day he will prove these claims by rising all the dead. They should not be surprised that Jesus' voice gives life, because a time is coming when they will see it physically happen. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The pronoun I is emphatic. I myself, says Jesus, am not able to do anything by myself. His use of the explicit pronoun makes it clear that Jesus was referring to himself when he made a similar statement about the Son in chapter 5, verse 19. And Jesus hears from God himself. God spoke to Jesus face to face, publicly and privately. Jesus has no vested interest in the outcome and therefore can make an objective decision. Why? All that the Father has given me, I will bring. I have lost none of them. His judgment is just because he is merely acting as the executor of his Father's will. Why did Jesus love us? Because his Father told him to love us. Jesus' judgment because it was the same as the Father's judgment, Jesus' unqualified commitment to please the one who sent him guarantees that all he says and does is completely in accord with the Father's will. If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. To illustrate, I watched even today, before I came to church, show on the BBC, and there was a problem because women were going to court. And just like the Jews function in first century Israel, is how the government of Jordan focuses on. Why? How? The accused is never put on the court docket. In Jordan, as it was in first century Israel, the witnesses are quizzed. The witnesses are scrutinized. The word true is used in the a sense of valid in a law court. What I say is not accepted as real proof. Jesus is speaking about the principle of Deuteronomy 19:15, where a charge can only be accepted on whose testimony? The testimony of two or three witnesses. The accused is not under scrutiny. The testimony of witnesses is scrutinized. The practice was not to interrogate the accused, but to interrogate the witnesses about the accused. There is another who testifies about me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true. Who is the other? The capital letter in the verse translation should tell you. Another, he is referring to his father. That another does not refer to John is clear from verse 34, where Jesus states that Jesus does not accept testimony from a man. Either John the Baptist or John the Apostle was not qualified to give testimony except to echo the words that they heard about God and from the Father. It is a general reference to God testifying about Jesus over and over in all that Jesus says and does for us. The reaction to Jesus' words and works is not based on belief and hatred, nor even the attitude of mind that fails to rise above amazement, but faith which honors the Son even as it honors the Father. Those who exercise this faith do not come into condemnation, but have even now, John 5:24 says, have passed out of death into life. In the great day of judgment, they, together with all the dead, will rise physically. But though all will be raised, there'll be a great difference in the quality or character of their resurrection. Some will come out of the tombs for their resurrection of life. I've never heard of philosopher Luke Ferry until now. He has authored a best-selling book I have shown, A Brief History of Thought. And he makes a surprising statement. He credits Christianity with creating the novel idea that all people have dignity. And for him, it's rooted in Christ's resurrection. Ferry states, quote, "The entire originality of the Christian message results in the good news of literal immortality, resurrection. In other words, not merely of souls, but of individual human bodies. If an unsaved secular philosopher can say that because Christ will raise the dead literally and with a physical body, that means that he must have thought about it, and that's why God raises us from the dead, because individually, if we put faith in the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus, that's what's most important. I tell you again, what does God want most from us? He wants us to trust him. He wants us to believe him. David sinned many sins, but he learned his lesson. We too can repent after we're saved, and we should be changed to a resurrection kind of life, but it only happens after we trust Christ as Savior. Every mother would want her children to believe this message. Jesus paid it all.